Always Told on the Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazza Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Cavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mikindo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, T. Hamill, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, and Nicholas Fancer. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by Miss Lauren Wynn. What's up, Lauren?
Hey there.
We became friends through our friend Victoria Male, because you were friends with her from college. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad she kind of brought us together with our Smallville fandom.
Yeah, I'm excited. As someone who has always held on to Smallville, it's great to be on your show.
Yes, and where did you first come across Smallville and or Superman? Was Smallville your gateway to Superman? Was it the other way around? Tell us about your Smallville slash Superman fandom, Lauren.
Well, it's funny. I am a little notorious for coming to the things I love in the absolute worst way possible. And by this, I mean my first Batman anything was Batman Robin. My first Star Wars movie was Attack of the Clones. Superman is
two for two.
Superman is no different. Smallville was my introduction to Superman, and it was also a really weird episode. My first episode, I think, was one with Tina Greer, and you know, I didn't know who any of these characters were, so to see a girl who's like swapping back and forth between identities, like that was just a real mind messer for me.
Are you comparing Smallville to Attack of the Clones and Batman and Robin? Is that what I hear you doing?
I am comparing this particular episode. I could have done worse, though. My first episode could have been Craving with Amy Adams.
There you go. You know? Yes, with a different Lois Lane.
It worked out for her in the end.
Yes, it did. So, despite being confused and by the first episode of Smallville you saw, you stuck with it and became a fan. Is that right?
Sort of. And it's good you brought up my friend Victoria, because if your listeners enjoy her guest appearances, then I think there's a lot of synchronicity between her energy and my energy, because from memory, I think she was watching it once it was syndicated. Like, she started watching it once it was shown on ABC, which is how I got to it. It's funny because I saw an episode of Smallville when it first came out, and I was like, oh, I don't know what the show's about, but I want to see it. But I had this sort of fundamentalism with my principles when I watch stuff is like, I don't like to start something right in the middle. And I had no way of knowing if this was in the middle of the show or if it was like the beginning episode. So when it started showing on ABC, I was like, oh, cool. I always wanted to watch that show, but we didn't have Netflix or Hulu or anything back then. So I had no way of kind of starting from the beginning. So I watched like all the episodes on, I almost said Hulu, gosh, I watched all the episodes on ABC, right. And then I caught up to season 4, and then I just started watching concurrently with season 4.
Oh, that's great. See, I'm so happy that ABC Family got Smallville, because as I've done the podcast,
exactly.
I've come to, you know, talk to more people like yourself who kind of got into the show, Victoria as well, you know, like ABC Family showing Smallville was essential to y'all becoming fans. And so that's something that I think we've lost these days with the streaming media and all this, like who watches syndicated shows on cable anymore? Like, I don't know, maybe people do, but
I don't have cable. Yeah, I mean, I'm a true millennial. I don't pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's totally the way, you know, I'm the same way. So it's great that I say it every week, the CW and the WB, right? But ABC Family, you know, give them some credit for getting a lot of Smallville fans, getting people up to speed, right? Because, like, you know, but in that era of the mid-2000s, there wasn't a Hulu or a Netflix or a post it on the WB.com the next day, right? If you missed an episode, episode. They would occasionally show some reruns, but it would be random, and then it'd be gone forever unless you were like me and like VHS tape them and watch them over and over that way. So.
Right. And I think it's great because even if I hadn't been like a little weirdo and wanted to watch Smallville when I was a little kid, by the time it was on ABC, I was like a teenager, and that show was definitely relevant for me, you know? So there might be other people who are like me who maybe they weren't interested in it when it first came out, but when they got older, they're like, oh, I can watch this.
Now, spinning out of your Smallville fandom, then you said this is what brought you to Superman. Like, you continue to kind of
yes.
watch or follow the character and other mediums, right?
A ton. And, you know, I think Smallville has a lot of power because, funnily enough, because Smallville and then Superman Returns, those were like my main exposures to Superman at the time. And I think those two, not shows, but two...
iterations.
I guess adaptations. Yeah, iterations of... Superman, they were really good for someone like me who didn't grow up with Superman, because Superman Returns was all about that nostalgia, you know, and like they really took all these things that were Superman and they hit them over the head. So it's like, just in case you didn't know that Superman says things like up, up and away, or people say like, is it a bird or a plane? It's Superman. If you were like me and you didn't know those things were attributed to Superman, it was great to watch Smallville and Superman Returns, which really just kind of constantly nodded to these like famous Superman tropes.
Yeah, sometimes a little too much. As I've noticed watching Smallville, it's like, oh, Clark Kent leaps tall theories in a single bound. Like, what are you talking about? Who would say that in a world without Superman? But,
right.
But you know, I get it, you know.
The way they work around the dialogue.
Like, they didn't know they were going to last 10 years, so... They're like, well, we probably got, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years if we're lucky. Let's cram all this stuff in now. And then that goes on for a decade. It starts to wear thin after a while. But I there's some I love and some just make me facepalm. But I mean, that's part of the charm of Smallville. That could be the whole show, right? So, Superman Returns, right? We'll get to that
right.
When the time comes. That was very contentious at the time because I'm like, Brandon Routh, who are you? Like, Tom Welling's my Superman. Like, what is this? You know, and are they going to cancel Smallville for this? And
yeah.
But 2006, it was the year of Superman as they advertised it. And there was, you know, Smallville was on the air. They released a lot of stuff on DVD, like Lois and Clark and Superboy season one.
Oh, yeah. And actually, isn't that when the Donner Cut was released? Finally, that year.
That's correct. The Richard Donner Cut of Superman 2. Like, of all, say what you will about Superman Returns and whatnot, that kind of opened the door because Bryan Singer wanted to use Marlon Brando as Jor-El, so that opened up the door for the footage of him from Superman 2, which was the big holdup for the Richard Donner Cut. Now, Richard Donner Cut, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you wait forever for and you're really excited for it, and you finally see it, you're like, I don't know. Because they made some weird choices. Like, I think the perfect version of Superman 2 is in between the two versions, to be honest. The theatrical cut and the Donner cut. Because there's some things that are a lot better, obviously, in the Donner cut. But there's a few other things that are better in the Lester cut, if you ask me. So,
which version is responsible for Lois Lane saying bye-bye, baby, and then dunking herself off a waterfall?
That is the Lester cut.
Oh, okay. Then I guess I'm pro-Donner cut. That was like... I referenced Star Wars earlier. That was like Anakin, you're breaking my heart levels of bad for me. Like there are a couple moments in cinema history that just like I will never let go of because of how bad they were. That is one of them.
Well, I see your point, although I would argue that it is more realistic for Lois Lane to jump into a river to prove that Clark is Superman than to jump out of a skyscraper to the pavement below. But it was delightful to see that scene, I will say. But...
Which I have watched all the versions now because that was part of my, I guess, like Superman. I've done this a lot for researching Superman for my own podcast, Metropolis Podcast. I do a podcast for the show that never got picked up. So I'll plug it one more time at the end of the episode. But right now it's just kind of in the development phase. But I'm sort of a completionist and just how it was important to me to watch Smallville from the beginning. It's very important to me to like go back and look at all these different versions of Superman. Technically, my first introduction to it was Lois and Clark, but I was probably like about 2 feet tall. I don't remember exactly when I saw it. It was very minimal exposure, but it's funny because I remember I think I saw the pilot for it because he flies her through the Daily Planet.
Yes.
I turned to my grandmother and I was like, Grammy, does she ever find out he's Superman? So, you know, even like 2 feet tall me was like sort of like swooning over the Lois and Clark romance, which I think that's kind of a reward for following all the different versions of Superman.
Yeah, I mean, they all have different
iteration, like all these different iterations have a different angle. You know, like Smallville is young Superman, mm-hmm. like growing up, right? Lois and Clark is like a romance, you know, romance story. That's the first and foremost. You have the Christopher Reeve movies, which are like the mythology of Superman, you know.
Yeah.
You have the Brandon Routh Superman Returns. It is its own thing. You know, it is kind of a sequel to those movies, but it is its own thing in its own way. And then you have, you know, Supergirl, which is on now, which is like Superman, like post his career, you know, or like Supergirl's kind of running the show now, you know. So you see all these like phases of Superman's life. So you know, it is great that we have all these iterations. And then you have stuff like the animated series, which I know you're a big fan of.
Yeah, which that was part of it, too. Mm-hmm.
So this episode, Lucy, right? Lucy Lane comes to town. And in Smallville, the official companion, season 4, by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Erica Durant said, quote, "I really, really enjoyed that episode. Of course, it was my first year, so I was still running on nerves. It was fantastic because it was a chance to explore a little bit more of where Lois came from and hopefully be able to show people why she is, some of her idiosyncrasies, and really delve more into her story." So I will say that I think Erica Durant did a great job in this episode. This is probably her strongest episode yet as Lois on the show, in my opinion, because she has a full range of emotions to act in. What's your take on this episode? Just like when you first saw it versus now, did your opinion change? Because I will say this, and we're gonna talk about it obviously, but I didn't like it that much when it first aired, but I actually kind of liked it this time around. So what did you think, Lauren?
You know, I didn't like it either, and I think it's just because I felt so unpleasant at the end. I was like, aw, Lois is a brat sister. And like that was basically, it's funny you asked me to do this one. I'm the biggest Lois Lane fan, like, ever. I'm sure that Zach has a lot of guests who claim that. They are wrong. It is me. I'm a huge Lois Lane fan, and that's why he asked me to come on this episode, because it's kind of like the first Lois-centric episode in season 4. And I've only watched this episode twice before, I think. I watched it once when it aired, and then I watched it another time just to feel like, I don't know, I was a real Smallville fan. But otherwise, I haven't watched it probably in about 10 years. So this was a really cool way to travel back for me.
Yeah, I mean, season 4, as people have heard me say, I'm like, I really like season 4. It's probably my least favorite. Much like you, a lot of these episodes I watched once in first air. Mm-hmm. Second, when I got the DVDs, and then, you know, maybe the handful that I liked, I watched again, but that was it. So I mean, I'm revisiting these for the first time, and, you know, having some fresh eyes on it. Now, interestingly, Kelly Saunders, one of the series writers, had this to say in The Companion about this episode, quote, "It's so hard for people to get emotionally tied to a character that's just one episode, who has just shown up to do a guest spot. I think you remember, quote, oh yeah, Lois' sisters came to town. But you are really going to cling to the moments in the episode that were between our main cast. We always try to center everything around them. Every once in a while, we veer out, but we really care about our main cast, and that's what the audience tunes in for." And that was basically kind of talking about that this episode didn't resonate with fans, and I agree. I mean, we didn't see Lucy again till season 10. So, played by Peyton List, by the way, who has gone on to be in The Flash, to be in Gotham, to star in her own CW show, Frequency, for about half a season. I think it got canceled, based off the Jim Caviezel movie of the same name. So she really, I mean, Smallville starting careers and starting TV shows on the CW, this episode had it both with her.
Right. And it's funny because I watched this episode when I was like a young teenager. And I remember looking at Peyton List like, oh my God, she looks so like, I mean, I thought all of them looked so old at the time, but rewatching it as being in my late 20s, I'm like, oh my God, no, she looked like a baby. And she looked like me when I was a teenager. She wore so much makeup because she was trying to not look like a baby. It's just funny because Peyton List has always been older than me. She will always be older than me. But I think I just like looked at her as if she was so much older. So it was really funny to watch this and just be like, oh my God, she was a child. And also the fashion.
I mean, Lucy Lane, she's been in lots of other iterations of Superman. She's been in Supergirl, the movie. We saw her for the first time in live action. She's obviously in the comic books, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of iterations of her, right?
Yes. And I will say, when I went back and watched Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, I think Lucy's in the first episode. Like, I think Lois is crying because she's not in a relationship. Like, that's an actual scene, guys.
Yeah.
And then Lucy's kind of comforting her. And I was like, this isn't right. They're not supposed to be like close with each other. They're supposed to hate each other. So that's what Smallville did for me. It established that sort of relationship in my head is no, they cannot be like close.
Yeah. No. Lois and Clark, she was actually played by two actresses, Elizabeth Barondez and Roxana Zal. and they played Lucy Lane, and one of them was in the pilot, and the other one was in the episode Metallo, about Metallo, on Lois and Clark, and she was dating the guy who becomes Metallo. So, so yeah, Lucy Lane has a big presence in lots of Superman media. So, and you know, we saw her on Supergirl. She was a second in command of the DEO. And then when Supergirl got moved from CBS to CW, they forgot she existed. So I don't know. So played by Channing Tatum's wife, by the way. So
they are divorced now. She now goes by Jenna Dewan. Previously, I think Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Played by Channing Tatum's ex-wife. I was not up on my celebrity gossip. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. So.
I didn't have the convenience of being able to watch it on my DVDs. So I watched on Hulu. And I noticed that a couple things. They had a BBC America logo on it, like a watermark, the entire time I was watching it. Do you know anything about that?
No, I know BBC America shows Star Trek all the time, but I didn't know they showed some Marvel, so I'll have to look into that.
Okay, and then a couple more things is, I feel like their voices were a lot higher. Have you noticed this watching like season 4, season 5?
Yeah, if you watched a BBC version, that means it's PAL, not in TSC, which they speed everything up. So that's why their voices are higher pitched. Yeah, so that explains that. It's resolved.
Okay, I thought that was crazy. I was like, I have really sensitive ears, and I don't think Erica Durance's voice is this high pitched. And even Clark's not high pitched.
That's crazy. When you watch stuff in that format, in PAL format, it's a higher pitched voice, and it's really like when you know how things are supposed to sound, they really sound off. So good call, good catch there.
That is crazy. Cool. Also, have you ever watched the Hulu versions of Smallville?
Sometimes when I want to watch them in HD, but most of the time I default to my DVD.
Okay, so I noticed something crazy, and this probably has to do with like the BBC America thing. The first episode of Smallville on Hulu is missing 3 scenes, and drastically changes the tone. Have I talked to you about this before?
No. I've heard people mention this. They had to cut some out for like time limits because of when they showed the pilot and syndication, it was shorter. So they cut some scenes out, and so that is apparently the version they have on Hulu. So I've had actually some people comment on that as well. So
I actually angrily wrote to Hulu. I was like, you're missing like 3 scenes, and they really changed the tone of this show because they're missing the scene where Clark kind of daydreams that he's like a football star. They're missing the scene where he kind of checks in with Jonathan and, you know, they kind of talk about their feelings. And they're missing the scene at the end when he like stacks Whitney's truck on top of the other trucks.
Superman being an ass. We love it.
Well, I mean, 2 of those scenes, like the bookend scenes are, they're very playful and they make Smallville feel like less of a adult show. And then the Jonathan Kent thing was just good because it gave you the emotional closure. So, you know, I wrote to Hulu. I was like, why is it like this? They actually wrote back to me. They're like, hey, we just posted the version that we were sent, but we'll look into it.
WB. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot, Warner Brothers.
I mean, seriously, though, because I was trying to introduce a friend to Smallville. And, you know, since it was on Hulu, I pulled it up. And I was like, wait, you would have actually enjoyed this more if you had these scenes. You would have, because it would feel like a more wholesome show. So I watched I watched this on Hulu because I didn't have time to watch it on DVDs. And I kind of wonder, was there like a micro scene somewhere in there that I missed?
No, that was the only episode that they did that to, because it was a longer episode. So you should be safe with the rest of the episodes for sure. So, but that's good. Maybe when it's on DC Universe one day, they'll have the extended version of all these episodes. So that'd be great.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I've been wondering that for so long. Like whenever I have the hankering to rewatch Smallville, but I'm not around my DVD set. It's like, oh, but on Hulu, I might miss something. So there we go.
Yeah, well, mystery solved. Any more Smallville questions, just forward them to me at alwaysmallville@gmail.com.
Hey.
Well, anyway, Lucy Lane. What do they do when they introduce characters from Superman mythos on Smallville? They name episodes after them. Perry, Zod, Doomsday. Well, that wasn't his first episode, but you guys know what's up. So let's talk about it. Lucy.
Lois, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but ever since Lucy came to town, you've been grumpier than normal. Are you not happy to see your sister?
Of course I am. Look, there's a thing with sisters. You can love them without really liking them.
You don't like your own sister?
More like she's not very crazy about me. Not that I blame her.
Yeah, look, you might be a little rough around the edges. As far as sisters go, Lucy could do a lot worse.
Thanks for the ringing endorsement. When my mother died, my dad had 2 girls he didn't know how to deal with, so he did what every good military leader would do. He instituted a chain of command, and I reported to him.
Lucy reported to you?
Yeah. take sibling rivalry to a whole new level. I had to make sure she had 3 square meals, got to school, did her homework.
You became her mother.
Yeah, except I was not prepared. I used to give her advice like, don't kiss a boy, you're gonna get pregnant. And yeah, maybe she had a few more chores than most kids.
Is that why she decided to go to boarding school?
Unlike your family, there was no discussion. You know, when the general gives an order, you're expected to carry it out.
Oh, sounds kind of harsh.
Trust me, Lucy got the better end of the deal. I mean, don't get me wrong, she totally deserves it. But I guess there was just a part of me that was always jealous she got out and I didn't.
Lucy is the 16th episode of Smallville's 4th season. It aired on March 2nd, 2005. Story by Neil Sadhu with a teleplay by Neil Sadhu and Daniel Sulzberg and directed by David Barrett. So the episode starts out and we're in Switzerland. And it's a very kind of James Bond-esque opening, isn't it, Lauren?
It absolutely is. And watching it this time around, I kind of was amazed at the entrance they gave the character. Because, we think of certain characters, how they're... introduced, I always think of Jack Sparrow's introduction in Pirates of the Caribbean, where people go out of their way to make sure that you know that this is an important character. And I never would have expected that for Lucy, but they straight up give her like a Bourne Identity, Mission Impossible sort of introduction. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, and because you're what am I watching? Because it's like Switzerland, and there's like clearly some stock footage and some stunt people. And
where did they film that?
Yeah, I assume Vancouver, right? I mean, there's snow up there. I don't know. The companion didn't tell me. So Craig Byrne, step your game up. But it's weird because this isn't like, oh, it's Lex skiing, right? Or, oh, it's Lois. It's like, who is this? Like, how do we, so we get this action scene here, right? Lucy's in all pink, being chased by these guys in all black.
She wears so much pink this whole episode. It's like Lana Lang season 2 level of color coding. This is the feminine sister, you guys.
She totally raided. She was the only thing she stole was the money from the towel, and she also stole Lana's closet, apparently. But
that's why Lana's apartment looked the way it did.
Yes, that's what
Lucy came in and she took all her clothes.
Yes, it all ties together, right? But Lucy evades all these people, and then we see I guess the head bad guy. So. Guys look familiar to me, so I looked him up, and he's played by Peter Wingfield. Marcus Becker is his name, and I looked him up, I'm like, this guy looks familiar. He was a recurring character on Highlander, the series, and I used to watch that back in the day, so that must be what I remember him for. He's in a lot of things still, he's a working actor, but I knew him from Highlander, so anyway, that's where he came from. But
I feel like he was in a Halloween Town movie from when I was a kid. Do you know the Halloween Town movies? I think he was like turned into a frog or something.
Wow.
That might be a deep cut for anyone who watched the Disney Channel original movies.
You know, I gotta say, I'm not familiar with those, but hey, to each their own. So, but the important thing is this guy's getting work, and his work brought him to Smallville, and he really didn't have that much to do. He really didn't have that much to do in this episode, other than have a German accent, but other than that, that's pretty, it's kind of one note. But, this action beat happens, and then we get a phone call. Lois does in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. Smallville time. It's funny. She gets a phone call. She thinks it's her alarm. She keeps trying to turn it off, and it's her cell phone.
And she's so extra. She has a headband that says "Do not disturb."
Yes.
I'm like, Lois, you would.
She's the first person who would disturb people with that on, right? But she gets this phone call, and it's from Lucy, and she's like, "Hey, sis, I'm coming to visit you." And then we cut to the opening credits. Clearly, Lois is not excited about this. She knows something's up.
Right.
So we get the opening credits. We come back. Lois is cooking a terrible, terrible breakfast for the Kents. Clearly to make up for the fact she's like, oh, well, I've been staying here for... I'm like, yeah, you have been staying here. Like, what have you been doing to contribute? Like, are you staying here for free? So she's feeling kind of bad about it is what she says. And she's like, well, I figure this would be better than helping out of the farm. But Clark is on to her. Clark knows that there's an ulterior motive here, doesn't he, Lauren?
He does. And it's funny because... I was listening to an episode recently that you did, like, I think it was one of the Alicia episodes or something. Mm-hmm. You were talking about how much Clark loves to annoy Lois, and it was so fun to watch because, like, at this point in the series, it's kind of like a younger brother. He can't help but rub things into her. But it's also funny because it's like Clark at some level in this stage of his life, likes to get a response out of Lois, and that's going to grow into something else later. But right now, he's just being a brat because he can. But he enjoys it, which I think that's super important.
He does, you know, and I mentioned just a couple episodes ago, talking to Victoria about crypto, yeah. And I said, you know, they have like this brother-sister vibe. You know, I can see how that could turn into them getting together, but it's just that they established this vibe for so long because it was like, you can't get Clark and Lois together on the show. You know, like by the time they actually right. like turn her into Lois like proper around season 8, it's like, oh, okay.
Lois proper.
That's how I describe it anyway, because this is Lois is hanging around and they can't use her like as Lois Lane, so they're using her with other stuff. But, right. but anyway. Yeah, they do have some great cracks because Clark's like, why are you doing this? She's like, oh, I'm just being nice. And Clark says, if you're any nicer, we'd starve, because she does a horrible job cooking.
And then Annette O'Toole goes, Clark. Yeah.
But the pancakes, the bacon, like, they're terrible.
I will say, I noticed we had 2 arm punches in this episode. I don't think that's one of your counters, but it kind of should be if you were doing like a Lois-centric show.
I did notice that. That's a good call because I actually put in my notes. I was like, maybe I should add this to the counter. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I will. But because there's still time. She's only been in half a season, so there's still time. But her arm should be shattered every time she does that, right?
Well, but that's what makes it nicer, because if you really think about it, that means Clark every single time is letting, you know, he's like, I guess, peeling back the layers of his tactile telekinesis or whatever you choose to believe.
There we go.
He's softening so she doesn't break her fist.
Yeah, that's... Sure, I'll go with your explanation. I'll go with your explanation. It's like when he gets tackled in football. You know, he you know, so good for Clark. He really does care.
Right.
Because if he didn't like her, he'd just be like, he'd let her shatter her arm because she punches him a lot. It's kind of their thing the first half of her time on the show.
She does it twice. Yeah, she does it twice in this episode. And apparently... you probably already talked about this in like her fourth and final, like it was supposed to be her final appearance when she
devoted. Yeah.
Yes. She has that quote about how she wanted to punctuate the goodbye with something. So she just kind of like, you know, side punches him on the arm. And then that became their thing.
It is their thing. I have to keep an eye on like when they like become like a real thing, like romantically. Like, does she still punch him? Is that still their thing? We'll see. But yes, maybe I will.
She does. Well, actually, she does. And then he catches her arm. Ooh. And then they have this moment where it's kind of like, you know, it's like foreplay to them. Yeah, exactly. You just brought a noise to something I couldn't describe. There we go.
So Lucy shows up before Lois is trying to tell them. She's like, okay, guys, I know I've asked a lot of you. So that's why it's awkward to ask for something else. And you're like, oh, yeah, what's she going to ask, right? And then Lucy shows up. By the way, continuity points. We see Shelby. Shelby's still here, guys. So continuity points for Bud the dog getting some work. But Lucy comes in.
She looks like she's from Clueless.
Yeah, she totally like what's the Reese Witherspoon movies where she's looks to be the lawyer?
Oh, Legally Blonde.
Yeah, that's what I got.
It's Legally Blonde meets what's the character from Clueless? Is her name Cher?
I don't remember. I mean, Alicia Silverstone. That's all I got.
Yeah, she looks like Alicia Silverstone, but like instead of yellow, it's pink.
Big time. But you know, Lois says, oh, hey, here's my sister Lucy. Can she stay with us a couple days? And, you know, there's some back and forth about that. But, of course, the Kents are going to let her, because the Kents let anyone who needs anyone to stay live. I mean, Clark is sleeping on the couch.
Right.
For God's sake. I mean, Lois has kicked him out of his room. So they're going to let Lucy stay and Lois up in Clark's room. And I love it, you know, they go up to prepare the room. And I love what Clark comes over to his sister. Where he's like, so, Lucy, Lois has told us absolutely nothing about you. So it's a funny way to, I mean, obviously, we, as Superman
Clark
fans,
is such
we know.
A rat.
He is. But, you know, as Superman fans, we know that Lois Lane has a sister. So this isn't like, because a lot of TV shows, they invent brothers and sisters for characters to kind of run out of stories, or they
Supergirl.
Try to like, yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
Star Trek Discovery is another one. But anyway, they invent these characters. You're like, why are you doing this? Like, you have plenty of characters. Well, who cares about somebody's brother or sister we've never heard of before? So this kind of undercuts it that way for Clark. And then also hilarious, he's like, we've never heard anything about you, and now you're showing up and staying with us? What's that all about? So I love that their introduction here.
I do, too. It's really fun to see, again, like, Clark put Lois on the spot, because I don't think he gets to do it very often. Lucy comes in, and she very much is, like, overly done. She's, like, all shiny, tons of makeup, tons of pink. And I noticed in the next scene, when she's, like, you know, trying to be a good girl and milking the cows or whatever she was doing, she's wearing overalls, and I'm just thinking, where did this girl get overalls from? 2, why are they shiny?
And yeah, why do they have Lucy in them? Like,
in rhinestones.
That was ridiculous. I'm glad you called that out. You're right. So, hey, she's got a lot of debt with some loan sharks, allegedly. So
she's such a con artist. And it's funny. You know what? Peyton List is absolutely one of those like CW quality actresses. But if you watch this, her everything she says before, you know, the cat's out of the bag, there is like a layer of, you know, I'm doing this, but I'm also putting on an act. Which I thought was kind of interesting, because, of course, I didn't notice that the first time around.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, both of them, Peyton List and Erica Durance, I buy that they're sisters. I buy their dynamic here. Like, it really does work, and maybe that's why I liked it better this time around, because I just kind of went into it with an open mind, and I'm picking up what they're putting down here, you know?
Exactly, and that was good casting. Like, they physically look like sisters.
I mean, they don't look like Michael Ironside or Terry Hatcher, but they look like each other.
Oh, no, I can buy that Terry Hatcher is her mom in that universe. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll buy it. Not that blonde woman who was in the picture from Gone, which, by the way, Lucy wasn't in that picture. Just throwing that out there, people. But moving on. Moving on from that, we have...
so much for continuity.
I know, right? Smallville at its finest. We have... Hey, Jason and Alana scene. What's your take on this whole relationship, this storyline going on this season? What are your thoughts?
Let me see. I think I made a note when this scene happened because I was kind of like live blogging it for myself. I think my note is, it's a Jason and Alana scene. I don't want it. That's how I feel about them.
Fortunately, they really only have this one scene, and they try to they're so overly happy. Like they just came back from like exercise in. He's like, oh, I let you win. And it's like a cute little moment. And then it's completely undercut when they go up to the Talon upstairs to where Lana lives. And it's completely trash because apparently Lucy, like we said, Lucy got there first and stole all her clothes before she went to the Kins, right? But this is very Smallville. People showing up to places and then being ransacked.
Yes. I remembered enough of the episode to know that Lana, like, took the stone.
Yes, that's one of the few things I actually remember, like the last scene with her pulling out of the fire hose.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I remember she took it out of somewhere that just did not make sense. What I thought was funny though is there's this little bit when Jason like opens, like, because it's supposed to be inside a box, he lifts the box. I'm like, dude, you know that's not in there.
Yeah,
you can feel, like, I'm assuming
bother.
That thing weighs a lot and you can tell it's a different weight, but that's, you know, Smallville being dramatic.
Yeah, I remembered that Lana hit it herself, but even watching it, I gotta say, like, it's very obvious because, like, the stone's gone. Jason's, like, freaking out about it. And Lana's like, oh, well, it'll be fine. No, let's go back to what we were before, when our biggest worry was that you were my coach at a high school and we had an inappropriate relationship and stealing.
And we had to find a place to.
Stealing a kiss under the bleachers. It's like, but you know, she really sells it really hard. She's like, let's just forget about that. And she has a point. Like, our relationship has become this search for the stones, right? But in retrospect, that's what it always was, right? So, you know, you feel sorry for Lana here. And you also, but yeah, you can totally see that she was the one. And Lana, she's devious, you know? I mean, Lana has come a long way from, like, season one Lana, right? I mean, season one, even two Lana wouldn't pull something like this.
And just wait for two more seasons. Take her death.
Yes, exactly. This is a season six, season seven Lana move. So, I mean, this is like kidnapping Lionel and putting him in a bear trap move, you know? So.
Oh, that's... my God. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. So, but Jason, he acts like he's cool with, okay, let's just let it go. But you know he's not going to let it go, as we'll find out in a couple scenes. But so, yeah, then we get the scene with Lucy in the barn with her overalls. She decided to milk the cows. Because she worked on a farm like a year ago or something. And she's clearly like hitting on Clark and flirting with him. And Lois like is annoyed by this.
That's,
I find
so
this
funny.
Very amusing, right?
Yes, I do too. And it's funny because Clark likes it. And I don't think he likes it just because it's getting on Lois's nerves. I think he's like, oh yeah, I'll take some attention.
Well, it's ridiculous. Like it's like Clark is a good looking guy. And people are like, oh, Clark Kent, what a nerd. I'm like, are you serious? Like any woman who would, come in contact with Tom Welling would be like, oh my God, right? So it's just funny that Lucy has the reaction that normal people would, right?
I guess so. But to Lois's defense, Clark just acts so weird in Smallville if you don't know his secret. He's just like that weird dude who does not have it together and he disappears a lot. So, you know, if you need him, maybe he's not reliable, or like he is reliable, but you just don't know it. Like you might turn to say, oh, can you do this? And then whoosh, you're like, okay, where did this guy go? He just flaked on me. So that's the side that Lois sees.
That's valid. You're so weird sometimes, as she tells him. And I love what she says about the telescope at the end, where they mention. But we'll get there. But yes, then, you know, Lucy goes off, and then, you know, this is a really good scene a really good, like, real life conversation between Clark and Lois here coming up. Because she's like, when my mother died, the general instituted this chain of command, and I was, you know, he was first, I was second, Lucy was third, and Clark's like, oh, you basically had to become her mom, you know, and that's a thing that happens when people lose parents, and there's a single parent, and there's multiple kids, you know, the older one kind of has to take the lead, and you get, and again, Erica Durance does a great job here, because you see, because Lois, like, my criticism of her in later season four is, like, the writer's just, like, goofy comic relief most of the time, because they don't know what to do with her for a while. Yeah. And this is like, oh, she's actually getting stuff to do. And Clark and her, like, actually really connecting here. And I really did like this exchange between the two of them.
I agree. And in addition to Lois and her sister being close and, like, amicable to each other, it's weird for me when Lois's mom is alive, which that feels so mean to say. It's not that I want my favorite character to be tortured. But, you know, in Lois and Clark, her mom's alive. In the Gwenda Bonn, Lois Lane book series, her mom's alive. It's just a really weird thing to me because I think this fits her character so much. The idea that, you know, her having the military father, that absolutely has a thing that that feels very Lois Lane to me. But also the idea that she had to be like an extra hard ass because she had to take care of her sister. Absolutely. All for it.
And I really love some of the advice she said she gave her. She's like, don't kiss a boy or you're gonna get pregnant. Like, that's hilarious.
That's coming from the woman who, like, started smoking because her mom said, don't do it, you're gonna get cancer.
But that is something you would totally tell the younger sibling. Like, I'm an only child, so I don't understand some of the dynamics, honestly. But that's something I could totally see older siblings telling younger siblings, hey, don't do that, you're gonna get pregnant if you kiss someone. Like, oh, okay, you know, like, hey, what are you gonna do, right? But that was funny, and so it was good mix of comedy. Like, and then she goes off to work. He's like, since when do you work? She's like, we're helping your mom with the talent. So I don't recall exactly, but I think this is when Lois, I mean, because I actually mentioned this in the last episode, I think like every female main character either lives or works the talent at some point. Like right now, Lana's living there. Martha's working there. Chloe will live there. Lois is working there now. She's going to live there. So it's just, it's funny how the talent has become.
Oh my God.
Nexus.
Yeah. It's like a bachelorette pad plus Martha Kent.
Speaking of the talent, our next scene is Lex and Clark there. They're talking about how it's going with with the Lanes there, and Clark and Lex are actually like the good friends in this episode. You know, this could be like a season one or two. I think I really like the vibe they had in this whole episode.
I do too. Lex has that line about, like, Clark said something like, "Do you ever miss your brother?" And he's like, "Oh, I used to." And then, you know, you came into my life, or something that's less romantic sounding than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's like some season one stuff right there. I love that at the end. But yeah, so they're talking about it. And Clark, you know, Clark's kind of complaining, but then he says, it's good to have him there. It kind of takes away from the loneliness. It takes the loneliness out of the house. And Lex is like, that's the one thing I hate. An empty house, you know, peace and quiet at home or something, right? But, you know, remember in season one, like way back, like in Hothead, when Lana was terrible at like serving coffee and stuff? Well, guess what?
And they like clapped when she dropped everything.
Yes. It's embarrassing. But guess what? Lois sucks at it now, too. So it's like, it's so funny to see our characters suck at their jobs. I just, you know, it's a goofy beat. And this is the kind of stuff, like, I don't like what they do with Lois, but there's so much good stuff with Lois in this episode. It's kind of a wash, and it kind of puts this out of the way. But there's a lot of episodes, and that's my deal. Like, I feel like they only do this kind of silly stuff with Lois and nothing else, so.
Well, to be fair, I'm just a massive Lois apologist, but there's logic behind all of it. I think Lois is, like, not a patient person, and that probably goes into why she's not good at cooking, why she's not good at serving people. Because she's just, like, very much, like, you know, fidgety, and she wants to get stuff done. So maybe she doesn't take the proper care it takes to do things like that.
There you go. I'll buy it. I'll roll with it.
Yay!
So Lucy comes in because Lois had passed Lucy off to Chloe, who, let's not forget, like, Lucy is also Chloe's cousin. So they've been hanging out, right? But then she shows up and she's kind of like in awe that Clark is friends with Lex Luthor. Like, they enter this conversation here, and she's like, I read your profile in Fortune magazine. I'm very interested in your thoughts on the economic of Europe. I'm like, but she's kind of played up as like she's a musician, and that impresses Lex as well. He's like, you should come over. We can have a jam session together, right?
When that happened, I was like, Lucy absolutely, like, 3 minutes before that conversation, Googled, like, Lex Luthor. And then, you know, she had something. She was definitely prepared to say that.
Totally, totally. But then, you know, we see Marcus, the bad guy from the beginning, as we find out his name is later. He's hanging out, you know, and the Talon. And he sees Lucy. And Clark's like, who's that guy looking at you? And then they look back and he's gone. So What a twist, right?
Whenever something like that happens in any show, any movie, I always think about Tess Mercer behind the bus. She like lifts her coffee up and then she disappears.
Is that Checkmate, maybe? When she's doing all the super spy stuff. But yeah, no, it's a complete horror sci-fi trope. It's like if a car passes by. Spider-Man 3, right? With Peter and Harry as well. So yeah. Anyway.
For some reason, like, it wasn't even my first exposure to it, but I'll always think of the Tess Mercer version. Probably because she basically salutes someone and says bye to them.
Yes, with the coffee. It's great. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. So we continue on with our Jason subplot, and he busts into to Lionel's guest quarters at Luther Mansion. Lionel, I don't know what Lionel's doing, like looking at something through some eyepiece. It's just a very pretentious thing to be doing.
Wait a minute. Okay, I haven't been watching Smallville season 4. Okay, wait, when did Lionel lose his sight? That was very early on, right?
So, season two? So Lionel lost his sight in season 2. He got it back. He lost his sight at the beginning of season 2. He got it back near, like, the 2/3 way through season 2.
When he was looking through that eyepiece, I was like, did he go blind?
Well, he has been wearing his glasses more recently since he got out of prison. So I don't know. Good Lionel's wearing his glasses.
I just forgot.
it was funny to just, I'm like, what is he doing? It's just what kind of pretentious activity can Lionel Luther doing? But Jason kind of busts in. He's like, where's the stone, Luther? I know you took it. And Lionel, I love what he says. He's like, breaking and entering isn't my style. Like, you know, and John Glover can elevate any scene. And actually, it's a good scene here because Jason's getting pretty intense about it. And this kind of begins to show where his true loyalties lie. Like, Lionel even says, why are you doing this? Is this some kind of elaborate act? And he mentions, like, the love between a mother and a son is the strongest bond of all, right? So he's implying that Jason is, like, you know, working for his mom. But then the real kicker is, you know, as he, like, slams Lionel up to a bookshelf, Lana is there. And sees that Jason has done this.
Because of course she is.
Why is she there? Explain to me. Apologize for that. I know she's not Lois, but can you explain to me why Lana was there? See Lionel.
I will never defend Lana.
Okay. Fair enough. But I guess because because she had the stone stolen, so she wasn't going to, I mean, go investigate where it went by talking to Lionel. Like, there was no reason for her to be in the Luther Mansion at this time, especially to go see Lionel. So. I don't know. That's just like, oh no, she sees that Jason is more into it than he said. And that's just the kind of, you know, this is the beginning and the end of their relationship, basically. So Lucy sneaks out in the middle of the night at the Kemp farm. She's being quiet, but not quiet enough. And because Clark now sleeps on the couch, he knows that she snuck out and then he follows her. And then she goes to rob the Talon. All right. But since Clark woke up, he is there to stop her. And it's just a very Superman scene, like talking some sense into her. You know, I really like it when Clark can be kind of authoritative, like just in a normal way, like Superman should be. And he basically, you know, he's like, you can't do this, that, you know. And then she gives him this sob story about she didn't fit in at school and she had to max out her credit cards to fit in with the fashion because all the rich people go to this school she went to. And then she says, quote, do you have any idea what it's like to be different from everyone else? Which is like, it's just such on the nose Smallville dialogue that we all know and love, right?
I know.
So she owes $50,000 to loan sharks. And she says, but most of it's just bogus interest, which I thought was funny. So, but Clark also mentions, oh, that's who that guy was the other day. So that is, I thought it was like earlier that day. So I guess it establishes this episode is like taking place over a longer period of time than I'm used to with Smallville, huh?
Oh, hey, you're right. I didn't catch that.
You know, we usually play a game sometimes, like, what day is it and stuff? Like, I have no idea. No one goes to school anymore, you know? I mean, the only reason they go to school is to walk down the hallways or be at the torch. So who knows what period of time is taking place at. But anyway, speaking of the torch, we cut to the torch, and Chloe has done some research and find out that Marcus Becker is the name of the guy. And I'll take a screenshot of his profile that she found. But he's part of, like, this German mafia deal. He's a bouncer or something. And they talk about, like, you know, Lucy had got Clark to promise that he wouldn't tell Lois about what had happened. But Clark and Chloe are talking about it, and they're like, oh, I wish we could tell Lois. And she's like, well, I already know. I figured her coming back here was bad news because she comes in. And she's going to go, you know, get to the bottom of this and beat this guy up and get him to leave her sister alone, right? That's her plan. But, you know, Clark has a better idea. He's going to go ask Lex for money. Because right? That's what Clark does.
Poor Lex. You know, I know that he has, like, a kind of a he wasn't set up for success, in my opinion, with like all the like abuse through his friends and family. Because Clark owes him so much for money. Lana, too.
Yeah, I mean, people just bust in there and say, hey, Lex, I need to borrow fill in the blank, or I need this or that. You know, I mean, again, the true tragedy of Smallville is Lex Luthor's life here. You know, all he tried to do was be friends with these people. So, but Lex and Lucy are hanging out at the mansion having their jam session where he's on his piano and she's on her violin, which is just...
Oh, that was so painful because, like...
Bizarre.
I've seen people do worse miming violin, but she was absolutely not playing it.
Yeah. So Lois and Clark bust in and Lois like gives her this applause. She's like, it was quite the performance, you know. She's not talking about the violin. She's talking about being a con artist here. And, they start arguing. And I really like how Lex kind of steps in and breaks this up. He's like, no, ladies. You know, I was like, you can tell Rosamom had fun with this scene. And hey, Lucy didn't ask Lex for the money, right? So they're like, oh, okay, maybe she's not so bad after all, right?
But she probably would have. No, it's all part of her plan. It's like a multi-level con.
Yes, it's a pyramid scheme of the highest order here, right? He considers helping her. He's like, well, just tell me everything about it, and I'll see what I can do. Because, you know, Lex, he's nice Lex in this episode. He's friends with Clark. He's helping people out with money. Now, they do some investigation, and it turns out that this guy is part of this German crime syndicate that, like, owns some kind of hotel or something he wants to buy in Zurich. So that's why Lex ends up helping her. And so I like Clark and him have a conversation about this, and Clark's like, that's the only reason you're helping her. He's like, no, I'm helping her for this. So that is a very Lex Luthor thing to do. It does benefit him. That's why he's decided to get to set up this meeting with this dude, give him the 50 grand. I mean, there's also a tracker in the suitcase that he'll get this guy with. So he's excited to bring this guy down, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because Clark kind of does round on him and, you know, it's like, oh, that's why you're helping or whatever. That's what I mean, again, is like they kind of always assume the worst of Lex.
Yeah. Guy can't catch a break. I mean, his friends are always assuming the... Now, I mean, to be fair, he's doing some shady stuff, but he's not always doing shady stuff. So give him the benefit of the doubt. So, and they keep talking about Zurich in this episode. It makes me think of season 7, where he's like, this, don't open that box in Zurich, Lex. Be no redemption for you. So, different.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea what you're talking about. Season 7, season 7, I think, is a season that I have only watched once.
Well, I mean, I used to say that 4 and 7 were the worst, and as I'm going through 4, I think 7 is the worst, but we'll get there. That's why I'm doing a retrospective podcast, so we can get to the bottom of this, guys. So Lex makes a big point. He's like, I'm going alone. And it's kind of this comedic cut, because Lucy says she has to go, and Lex is like, no, it's not safe. I'm going alone. I'm going to make this drop, because they're supposed to meet at this abandoned like storage unit or something. So we cut to Lex driving in the car, and it looks like he's by himself, and they slowly kind of zoom out. Lois is like shoved in the car. Lucy's in the back seat. It is comical, you know?
It's like so weird, like them all together. Also, side note, I think this is the only instance in all of Smallville that Lex and Lois are friendly to each other.
Yeah, this is the first episode where they have any scenes together. First of all,
it might be like the last season, the last scene where they have scenes together, where like, you know, he's not like talking down on her. Because later, I know that they do sort of like bump heads a bit because of she's always trying to like expose the wrongdoings in his company. But
yeah,
I mean, it was weird to watch this.
They are friendly, and that's a good point. They probably share more screen time together in this episode than doing any other. That's a great point. Either between Luther Corp experiments or the campaign or him being part of the Daily Planet later, like these are the things they bump heads on. But yeah, it is interesting to see Lex and Lois be on friendly terms here too. As they're driving there, Lex gets pulled over, right? And he gets pulled over by that same overpass we see in Smallville all the time.
So, yes.
So Clark catches the car that Alicia set up, and then I think it was the first time we might have seen it, and now we see it at least 3 or 4 times this season since. Even in Metropolis.
This time, I think Oliver wakes up passed out over there or something. Clark wakes up passed out. No. Someone wakes up passed out over there. I think that's where the bus falls off or the train falls off.
Yeah,
there's so much that goes on there. That's where the Legion meets Clark.
Legion, I was going to say the Legion of superheroes fly over there. And you still see that today in the Arrowverse. You see that same overpass in Vancouver or whatever. So, but he gets pulled over. He comes out. He's like, hey, officer, look, I know I was speeding, but can we just, you know, can we deal with this? Like trying to talk his way out of it. And then the dude pulls a gun out on him, and it turns out it's Marcus. It's It's the dude they've been after. So he somehow got tipped off somehow. We don't know how yet, right? But he insists he takes the money, has Lex empty the case of money into a bag because the case had a tracer in it, so now they can't trace him. Then he gives Lex a pretty bad pistol whip to the forehead, where it's like bleeding profusely. Lois sees that this going down, and Lois tries to intervene, as she would do, right? But then she gets kidnapped.
Well, I can't remember if it's this scene or a later scene, but Lucy says something really interesting. Sorry, my notes have really bad continuity other than just the order it happened.
Yeah.
Lucy says to Lois, "Lois, this isn't like getting lost on our bikes in Bangkok."
Yeah, that, I think that's when they're that in the back of that truck. That might be in a later scene. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Later on in the episode.
She's like, "I've gotten us out of worse things than this."
I know. I was like, oh my gosh. I think I want to read like a Lois Lane series where like Lucy is basically her sidekick younger sister.
Yeah. The Misadventures of Lois and Lucy Lane. I would watch that show.
I would watch it. I would read it. Like, I'm here for it.
And again, I buy this vibe, you know, between Lucy and Lois. I totally buy the sibling vibe they have going on here. So, but yeah, Lois gets kidnapped, but we don't see Lucy doesn't intervene in this. So, but we do cut away, and Clark has super sped over to that storage unit they were supposed to meet at, right? But he, as happened in Shattered, he goes to a storage unit, and it's just a sweatshop. So I guess there's a lot of sweatshops in Smallville, huh?
But it was like a flower sweatshop. That's what didn't make sense. I was like, illegal flower business.
There was no cash on the premises. I assure you, as that lady told him. So, a lot of undercover black market crime going on in Smallville Metropolis, I guess. But so he super speeds over to where Lex is. I guess he's just going down the road looking for Lex's car. He sees that he's passed out, and Lex tells him that he got the girls. And Lex has a really bad gash on his forehead. He's like, you know, a lot of people get pistol whipped in the show, but like they don't really bleed like this. So good thing Lex has that healing factor we established in Extinction, or he might have some serious brain damage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There we go. Also, Clark is really smart here. Or maybe it's not too much of a departure from how he normally is, because I feel like Clark escalates all the time. But normally he escalates when he's going off against Lex. He's like, you did this, you did this, you did this. He comes back to Lex, and then he's like, absolutely, Lucy, like, she played us. But I was surprised, because that seemed kind of like a definitive accusation from Clark, you know?
Yeah, no, I really like that, too. I mean, he's finally learning. He's not being the big dumb alien, as we used to call him on Krypton site. You know,
well, that's the thing is, I was like, what? Clark, the big dumb alien, put all this together? I was too nice to say that, but yes.
Yeah, so yeah, he's like, she played us, you know? She intentionally woke me up so I would catch her, so I'd hear this sob story, and she'd take me to you, and, you know, A used to be, B used to C. So good on Clark, and Lex, his line is, quote, "She played us like a Stradivarius," which is, he just had to say it, didn't you, Lex? But
somewhere in Vancouver, there's a writer who feels very smug with themselves.
Big pat on the back. Like, yeah, we got it. Like, you know, they high-fived each other when they're writing this episode and they come up with, oh, good one, man. We got him. So Lex gets a call from Marcus about, like, you're going to meet me here. I'm in this truck. We're going to meet on this highway. And Lex is like, well, that's not how it works. And Clark uses his super hearing to hear the other end of the phone call, and then he runs off. And again, Clark, you're so conspicuous. Like, you said, him being weird, right? I was talking about Lois and Clark, right? Like, he's in a room. Lex and him are the only two people in there. And then he super speeds away. It's like, what? How are you going to explain that to Lex later? Like, that makes no sense, you know?
If
like,
any of my friends did that to me more than twice, I'd probably just drop them as a friend. Like, you have no explanation for this? I mean, like, if a friend doesn't respond to... Like, if you ask someone a direct question through text and they don't answer it, and they have a habit of doing that, like, unless that they just really suck at being, like, texting, you're like, no, this is sketch. I can't get a direct answer out of you.
Well,
not cool.
The thing is, usually when he's done it, he does this to Chloe more than anyone else, right? And especially before she knew his secret. But usually there's, like, a crowd of people. You know, it's like the spring formal or outside of the high school or something like that, right? You can kind of like, oh, he got lost in the crowd, right? But it's like, no, when you're two people in one room, you can't do that, Clark. I mean, like, dude, use your brain. I mean, he at least does have some presence of mind to not be around later when he stops the crime. But meanwhile, we have Lois and Lucy in the back of this truck, and this is when they get their argument about, like, remember the time when this happened? Or remember the time when that happened? And Marcus comes in, and he brings them some lunch. And this is when we find out that Lucy has been conning everybody, like, officially, you know, because, you know, they talk, they do their back and forth, right? Lois says, oh, Tay, take me. She's the one with the future, you know, let her go. And Lucy's like, oh, wow, I didn't know you really felt this way about me, you know? So we see the wheels turn and like, oh no, maybe she regrets her decision about how this went down. But then as Marcus is leaving, he throws in the bag and he's like, the one with the sticker is no tomato. And then Lois is like, how do you know you didn't like tomatoes? I love how that's the reveal of double cross, right? That's a great way to reveal it.
I know, right? Later, when Clark does his massive leap onto the truck, but when he takes a hold of the truck, a really nice moment, we were talking about sisters, Lois physically grabs Lucy and like she holds her kind of in the center of the truck. And I think that was probably one of the best like understated moments in the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. I totally thought so, too. I'm like, that's her being like that motherly instinct about her little sister. Like, oh, things are going down, but I'm going to hold my little sister and protect her. Now it's a great moment.
Because it's doing versus like talking about it.
Right? Yes. Showing show, don't tell. Just like exactly. Referencing. Storytelling, mm-hmm. Right?
There we go.
And, you know, Lois is she's pissed at Lucy for this, and rightfully so, right? Because they're but they've had this massive like sibling misunderstanding, you know, because like Lucy is jealous of Lois because Lois got to stay with her dad and Lucy got shipped off. She's like, well, he didn't want me. He didn't love me. You know, he didn't want me around. And Lois is like, pulled. Yeah. But, and she's like, I got pulled around like an extra pair of luggage, you know, and like spare luggage. And then this is the great exchange of the whole thing, right? I really thought this was great. Lucy tells her, you had something I never had. You had dad. And then Lois tells her, I don't think either of us ever had dad. It's like, damn, you know, that's good stuff.
It is. It really is. Which, again, since we both weren't like amazed by this episode when it came out, it was good to review it and then really kind of reflect like that is Lois's origin story in this mm-hmm. world.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Now, as we mentioned briefly earlier, Clark, he does another leaps a tall fill in the blank in a single bound. he goes to that overpass on that interstate, looks for that truck. He uses a super hearing. He hears Lois in the truck like, I got us out of worse cases than this. I love that's what he hears her say, you know. It's like, okay, that's Lois. So he looks at this truck, and I guess he just has to do it. I don't know if it's a Tom Welling thing, but he makes the same stupid expression that he makes in Insurgents.
I know.
It's just the stupidest look, right?
I saw that because they slowed it down for us to see it, and I was just thinking, how many times did Tom have to do that? Tom consented to this. Tom physically made the choice to do this.
He's like, look, guys, I made these stupid faces for years. I'm not wearing a stupid Superman costume. Okay, so that's where he drew the line, I guess. But no, so he made, and this makes the opening credits in season 5, this big leap here, because, hey, it's a leap in a tall, fill in the blank, in a single bound. And so he lands on top of the truck. He does some, like, James Bond, Indiana Jones stuff. You know, it's real. This episode is more action movie than others, right? Because we got skiing intrigue. We got Clark
it's
on the
totally
side of this
action
truck.
Movie.
Right? Like, I totally thought about, like, Indiana Jones or Terminator, right? He punches through the glass, and it's great stuff here, I think.
I was impressed that Clark knew how to take over this giant truck after that captain. I don't think I could do that. Also, the logistics of, is the guy's foot still on the pedal? Like, is there enough room for him to shimmy in there? So Clark did some impressive stuff this episode.
Yeah, and, you know, and he got shot. It was cool because, you know, Marcus is, like, shooting up the roof, and Clark, he gets shot, but, hey, he's bulletproof, so, you know, it's all good. I thought, like, I forgot, like, is he going to hang around? Is he going to have to zip up that jacket and have that bullet hole like he's done before? But he was smart, and he spit off. But yeah, so he knocks Marcus out, takes over the truck, has a little trouble because he's swerving around for a bit. But he finally gets off the road, and then Lex and his security team comes in. Lex just charges in. Like, if I were Lex, I would, like, let my security guys go first just to assess the situation, right? So, come on, Lex, step your game up. But good on Clark for having the presence of mind to leave, to not be there, right? Because, you know, the last thing Lex needs to see is Clark disappear and then having, like, taken over the truck. Clark, how the hell did you get here, right? So I'm glad they avoided that,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. No cars around. Well, how did Clark get here before me?
Now, Lex and Lois, again, as you mentioned, they have a nice scene here because Lex is like, hey, you doing all right? She's like, oh, yeah, you know, other than, you know, she says some kind of quip, I guess. But she asks what he's going to do about Lucy. He's like, well, at this point, I have to notify the authorities, you know, right? And rightfully so. And she understands, right? But then let's not forget, right? When Lex got knocked out, his car got stolen by Marcus, right? So then it's been in the back of this truck the whole time. So as they're talking about this, Lucy steals Lex's car, and then she stops enough to kind of mouth to Lois, I'm sorry, and then drives off. And you can kind of see like Lex feels bad about the situation for Lois. And I mean, it's like, it's terrible. Like, I mean, but you understand why Lucy did it, because she keeps like spiraling. She keeps getting in too deep and starts spiraling out of control here with this stuff.
Yeah. It's really rough. Cause, I think of it in the lens of we're used to seeing this framed in the situation where it's like someone who's dating someone who's like an alcoholic or someone who just does not, they can't be in control of how they are. But having it between sisters, that's like not something you see often. Like, you can tell that Lois so badly wants to put her sister on the right track, but it just doesn't work out.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, Clark's like, just understand how they, like, she's like, wait, you don't like your sister? Like, he's just like, come on, Clark. Like, he is a little bit of a big dumb alien here because he just can't comprehend, like, what do you mean? Your family, you know? And Lex has to explain to him in the next scene. But that was part of the whole conflict. I think Lois thought Lucy didn't like her. Lucy thought Lois didn't like her. Or her dad didn't like her. So it's all this misunderstanding. You know, it's like, people just sit down and tell people how you feel, you know? And that you would solve so many issues in this world, right? So,
side note, did you ever feel weird in Persuasion when, like, what is it? Like, purple kryptonite Lois or something kryptonite Lois or something powers Lois? She just goes gaga over Clark and kind of proposes to him. And then there's that montage where she's geeking out, trying on wedding dresses. And she calls Lucy, and then, you know, it's not Peyton List. You just hear some girl screaming on the other side of the phone. She's like, Lucy, I got engaged. They're like, we're getting married. And you just hear, like, a girl screaming. I'm like, are they even close enough? I guess Lucy's had a lot of character development in the last, like, 5 years. Wow. If she's this close with Lois now.
That is a deep cut, Lauren. Let me tell you, I had forgotten about that entire. Like, I remember Persuasion, her dancing around the wedding dress and all that, but I completely forgot that she called Lucy. So kudos for them to at least attempting to have some continuity. because the thing, like, she drives off, never to be seen again until season 10. You know, but hey,
when she pulls the same stuff.
Yeah, it's right. So she, yeah, exactly. But I get it. Hey, it was great when she comes back in Ambush that you got all the lanes together, right? You got to see Michael Ironside again and Peyton List as his daughter. Which, by the way, in the Arrowverse, Michael Ironside and Peyton List play father and daughter. They never share any scenes together.
I know this. I freaked out so much when it happened.
That is great casting. I wonder if they did that on purpose. But Michael, I love Michael Ironside. Like, he's great. He's a great character actor. Anything he does, I love him. And it's great to see him in these shows now. And he does the voice of Darkseid in Superman the Animated Series.
He does. But the two roles he is for me is he absolutely is Sam Lane, who, by the way, is only a 3-star general currently in this episode, even though he's like a 4-star general later on. And he's also that dirtbag fraternity coach gym leader guy in the Karate Kid movies. Oh, that's another example. My first Karate Kid movie was the one with Hilary Swank.
Oh, no, not that one.
I love it. Her doing
the new
Karate Kid. Like the cranberries and the... Yeah.
That is, and then she used that to turn into Million Dollar Baby, where she did a boxing movie and won an Academy Award. So it all worked out for her. Good for you, Hilary Swank. So
there we go. So there's another example of Lauren is like falls in love with stuff, even though she's introduced to the worst possible iteration of it.
I love Michael Ironside in Terminator Salvation. He's hilarious. He's the leader of the resistance. Commence bombing of Skynet. Like, it's this hilarious line that me and my best friend always laugh about for some reason. Because we're like, is that Michael Ironside? Oh, my God. and also in Total Recall. I love Total Recall. Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from the early 90s. And he's one of the bad guys in there. And he gives Arnold. He's like Arnold's like nemesis in that movie. So, and anyway, he's a great character actor. I love him in anything I see him in. So I'm glad they eventually got him back for Smallville for the end. But yeah, so then we're wrapping up the episode here. We get to Lex, and he goes to visit Clark at the barn. And they have a talk about Lucy, and he said that they found the car, but they didn't find the 50 grand, so she absconded with that. And Clark is still confused about how families don't get along, and Lex has to spell it out for him. He's like, Clark, my father had me because he needed an heir. Your parents chose you. You know, just because you have, you know, blood, the same blood doesn't mean you're family, you know? And then, of course, Clark asked him, you know, do you ever miss not having a sibling? He says, I used to, until I met you. You're like, oh, the feels, right? Because that's right. What the show is about.
And the thing is, it's earned at this point, because... In, like, the first episode of Smallville, I think he says that Clark's his best friend or is his brother or something, and it's really weird.
Well, he's like, we have a destiny, Clark. No one can get in the way of that. Like, whoa, slow your roll, rich
no
boy.
No one can get in the way of our friendship, and it's so heavy. He says exactly that. He said nothing can get in the way of our friendship. And I was like, slow your roll, dude. You just met him, and you're, like, 7 years older.
Yes.
But in this episode, it's absolutely earned. You know, they've been through a lot.
So, yeah, so this, and then he has to say... I take your family any day of the week. I'm like, okay, we get it. You know, like, I like the scene, but we've been, like we were talking about show, not tell, we've been shown that many times. Like, all the scenes where Lex and Lionel are not really hugging, but the Kents are and all that stuff, like in Jitters and then Insurgents, right? We've seen that, but they feel the need to tell us here. But anyway, it was a good, this reminded me of the good Clark-Lex stuff we loved about the early couple years of the show. So then We have a plus one for blue shirt, red jacket on our tally board because Clark is wearing his pseudo Superman costume at school, walking around the hallways, talking to Chloe. Chloe makes a Hurricane Lucy comment about her coming in, doing her thing. And then she has one of those, like, because this is the point where Chloe knows Clark's secret, but Clark doesn't know she knows. So she has to say things like, hey, Clark, secrets and special, and you're going to save the world. And it's like, okay, we get it, right? What do you think about that?
She lays it on real thick. She says like three things in that conversation. I don't remember what they were, but I was like, dang, girl. We get it. You know his secret.
We get it, exactly. Because he says, well, I guess you can't save everyone. And she's like, well, that doesn't stop you from trying, does it, Clark? And it's like, okay, we get it.
And then doesn't she at some point says, like, if you ever need to talk to someone, you can talk to me?
You know, all these scenes, Lauren, are interchangeable. All the scenes after Chloe knows Clark's secret are interchangeable. It's like, I'm here. You could switch out the dialogue and be the same scene. You're absolutely right. So then we kind of wrap up we don't because we got one more scene with Lana. But we have Lionel's follow-up with his confrontation with Jason. And he's like going through Lex's computer. He's like, Dad, I don't think you understand the concept of personal space. And I love Lionel. I love good Lionel. It's so fun to watch because John Glover, he's getting to play another Shade that he doesn't get to play usually. And he's like, one of your employees, well, I'll tell you who it was. It was Jason Teague. That's who it was. Like, he takes his glasses off. Like, I love the choices he made in this scene. You know, just John Glover, man. It's so good. And he basically lays out to Lex that, okay, here's what happened. You know, Jason has the stone, right? And you know he had it because you hired him to go to China and get it, and then you stole it from him. And Lex is like, just completely clueless. Like, talk about Clark being,
I know,
naive, right? I mean, and Lionel even spells out, he's like, you are either the best con man in the world or you were just incredibly naive, right?
See, and in that moment, we didn't know that Lana had it. And I kind of hoped that Lex had it because I was like, man, this is some great acting. Like, we assumed that it was someone that was not Lana.
Right. Well, and it reminds me of season two back in Calling in Exodus where Lex, he has his fiance at the times, her office ransacked. And
sorry, which fiance?
This is Helen Bryce, who worked at Smallville Medical Center. Lex has been married. He's going to get married three times on the show. So
he was married to, like, the sex teacher.
Yes, the sex teacher. Right? Yes, Desiree Atkins. And then, of course, he married the sex teacher. Is great, though. And then, that's a great way to put her. And then he, of course, marries Lana Lang. So, yes, spoilers. So, if you guys are into Lexana, there's more of it coming up. So, but he ransacks Helen's office and he steals the blood, and then she accuses him of it. He says he didn't, but then we have the scene where he kind of pulls that out of a secret compartment. You're like, did he do this again? But no, it wasn't Lex. So, because Lana has the stone, we cut to Lana and she, like, sneaks out into the balcony, the fire escape for the Talon, pulls it out of this public pipe, which I'm like, is that the safest place for that? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, what if that fell? Like, how deep does that pipe go? Did she stuff it with something? I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, she has it. That's our big reveal. And, you know, I will say, like Lana, she played such a small role in this episode. Is this the reason I liked it more? I don't know.
You're in good company. I also find Lana insufferable for most of her screen time.
And I loved Lana in season one. I really did. Right? Who wasn't a Clark and Lana shipper in season one? But then Chloe and Clark, I'm like, well, that's way better. So why even bother with Lana? And then Lois shows up, and you're like, okay, well, get off the Lana train. But she even derails, you know, Clark and Lois in season eight. I mean, come on. But anyway.
That was a low moment in my year, 2008 or 2009, whenever that happened.
Breaking up that kiss. But she has a stone. So Lana, more conniving than we thought, right? Now, we get Lois in Clark's loft, using the telescope. And I love what Clark says to her when he comes up. He's like, I thought you told me telescopes were for geeks and stalkers, which I totally can see her telling that to him, right?
Did she actually say that to him? I feel like she might have.
I don't know. I don't know if she ever said, I don't know if we ever saw her say that to
him.
Well,
your memory's greater than mine.
I totally see it. It was such a good line that I can see Erica Durant telling it to Tom Welling on screen. But it's funny because he was a geek and he was a stalker with a telescope. So she's spot on with that. And she says that she called her dad and the general, as they keep calling. It's interesting, the dynamics where they keep calling him the general.
I love it so much.
Dad, right? But it's, you know, it's spot on for what they're going for here. And she says that he was mad at her for, quote, letting this happen. And, you know, and she tells him it's very empowering to telling a 3-star general to go to hell. You know, so
there it goes. 3-star general. He's 3-star, not 4 stars.
Yeah, currently. As Jonathan Kent said in, I believe it was Gone, he's like, he's a 3-star general, and we're going to give him the respect he deserves, which it's one of those, again, one of those lines that always stuck out to me for some reason about Smallville.
Can I just say a weird little bit about me and Lois is he's not my dad, but I do have a family member in Japan who was a 3-star general.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's crazy. It was kind of like learning. The thing is, he's still alive. But when I found out, it was like, you know, when you go back in your... it was like almost when you look back at your family history and you're like, oh, I'm related to that person, except this family member is still alive. And it's funny because my number one thought when I found out wasn't, oh, that's cool. It was, oh, I wish he was a 4-star general because Lois Lane's dad is a 4-star general.
Yeah, the mark of a true Superman fan. Well done. Well done. I'm always trying to find stuff like that in my life. You know, like, oh, phone booth, reporter, dog, and all, anything, right? So, I'm always trying to find those connections. So it's funny how we do that with our fictional characters. Life imitates art, imitates life, and those kinds of things. So that's awesome. this conversation with them is really great. And again, it really kind of shows their chemistry, and Eric Durant does a great job. This is her best episode so far, by far, in my opinion, playing Lois Lane. And they become friends here. They kind of joke about, you know, this, and Clark's like, well, I guess that's why we're friends. She's like, oh, so we're friends now, huh? He's like, well, I won't tell anyone if you don't. And then she does one of those punches, and then she kind of looks back at him, like, kind of a flirty look. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on here, right?
Also, in the past couple episodes, you've talked about, like, the gif-able moments, like... there's some, like, when you type in Smallville on, like, a GIF keyboard or something, this arm punch that she does, I see it a lot on Tumblr. Like, when people do, like, GIF sets of, like, famous, like, of Lois and Clark exchanges, this is one of the ones that's included a lot.
Well, yeah, there is so many, and God bless the internet for making all these Smallville GIFs, because I love GIFs. I love posting them on Twitter and Facebook and all that, and there are lots of them out there, and so they're easy to find, so... but yeah, this is really where Clark and Lois become friends, and we get a song here, Mark Joseph's Fly. So I, you know, Fly, Superman flies, I guess. I mean, that's how it ties in, but I did like the song choice, as I usually do for Smallville. So,
and we get some imagery that ties in, maybe. It's really weird imagery. You just see Clark looking at the telescope, and then he sees like one thing that's kind of slowly going across screen, and then there's like something that just absolutely crashes across screen. And I was like, is this like star-crossed lovers, but they are meeting together? I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. This was so random. I was like, what are you saying with this? Like, is it just like, oh, look, Clark and Lois?
It's like a Smallville season one moment.
Yeah, like a shooting star or something, right? But then I'm like, is this tied in the finale with like the second meteor shower and that spaceship that crashes with those people from the Phantom Zone? Like, I don't know. That would be cool, but this is before that. So I really don't know why this is here. And yes, it felt very, very odd. And like, they could have just had her look into the telescope. It didn't have to, oh, we better do something with the telescope now, right? It felt really random. I'm glad you agreed, because I didn't understand why it was there either.
At this point in my like watching of it, like I've never thought about this before, but I was thinking maybe this is like to show that these two are supposed to mean something to each other, and now they, on some level, might slightly recognize it because they dislike each other less. I don't know.
There you go.
Lois, I'm sorry. Well, sorry's not good enough. I want to know why. I want to know why you turn to a life of crime when you have everything in the world going for you. You're as close to freaking perfect as it gets.
Because that's what the general always wanted. And I just went along and played the part. From the day I left for school, all I wanted was to go home.
Why didn't you tell the general that?
How could I? It was clear he didn't want me around. He wanted you.
What are you talking about?
Why do you think he sent me off to school after Mom died?
He sent you off to school because you're brilliant and you deserve the best education available.
Well, you can think whatever you want. But the fact is, I always envied you.
Me? I was being dragged around the world like a spare piece of luggage.
Yeah, but you had something I never had.
What? Luce, I don't think either of us ever had dad.
Lucy got an 8.0 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 1 out of 5. So Neil Bailey, not a fan of a lot of season 4. But Lauren, I ask you, on a letter grade scale, what would you give Lucy?
When I watched it, it would have been much lower, but I'll say a B- because it had some high production value with the ski stuff going on. We got a shot of Clark that was used for seasons on later in promos. And we did get a very important piece of like the Superman history and like the Superman like family, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I liked it a lot better this time around too. I'm gonna give it a B.
Because, ooh, you know, even higher.
You know, I really liked Lois and Lucy in this episode, and Lana wasn't in it at all, so that's a plus. No, that's mean. But no, I really did. I like Eric Durant. This is her best performance yet. Her and Peyton List had good chemistry. Peyton List made a career out of being in superhero shows and starring in CW shows after this. So, hey, good start for her. So, yeah, so B minus for you, B for me. Now, finally, to wrap up, we have our tally board. Short tally board this episode. We have a plus one for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket, because Clark wears it in the last scenes. That's 21. And then we have an episode title set and episode, Lucy, you know, they say it a lot, plus one, 33
instances of that so far in the show.
Finally, we have a Bechdel test pass because Lucy and Lois talk about a lot of stuff, not about guys.
I'm here for it.
So, Lauren, thanks so much for being a guest on the show. People want to find you out there on the internet. Where can they find you?
Oof, I'm all over the place, but you can find me just about anywhere on any format, at Lauren Nakalwin. My middle name's kind of weird to spell, but I'm sure Zach will mention me somewhere that you'll be able to find me.
Yes, we'll tag you in the episode when it gets posted, so yeah, you'll find you that way. So you're working on a podcast called Metropolis. Tell us a little bit about that.
DC Universe was supposed to produce a Lois Lane show, and as soon as it was announced, I was like, I'm doing a podcast for this because I love Lois Lane so much. That show was never picked up. Maybe Gotham is, like, actually, Gotham airs its... this is going to date the podcast. Gotham airs its final episode of the series tonight. Maybe once the producers are freed up, they'll start thinking more about the show. And if they do, you can find me at Metropolis Podcast, where I'll be podcasting about Lois Lane and all her awesomeness.
Yeah, no, definitely tune in for that. Now, the whole concept of that show, I was like, a Metropolis prequel with Lois and Lex before Superman was there? I don't know. But hey, you know, Smallville, right? So who am I to talk? Superman prequels seem to work out pretty well so far for me. So thanks so much, Lauren, for being on. It's been a lot of fun talking to you about Lucy.
It has been. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. You will be back. I guarantee it. So, as for me personally, you can find me at Moron Zach on Twitter. That's MoronZach. I'm also host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcast network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. And finally, for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with an S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Well in the Smallville. You can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week talking about Onyx. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. You've got to